Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Blake Bedingfield, a Titan scout for 19 years, which was through the 2017 draft. And you can now read his work at paulkoharski.com. He was the Titans director of scouting, college scouting, for his final 6 years, I believe, with the team. Blake in studio with us. Good to have you in again. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here.
Week one in Miami. We did a poll yesterday, just among the three of us, ranking injuries, Mariota's play, officiating, and the weather delay. And you know what? The one thing we didn't rank, Paul, was the loss. Blake would put the loss number one, and we didn't even mention the fact that they lost the game.
You know, I would probably flip that. I would put injuries number one. That's huge. Delaney's injury is going to have repercussions for the entire season. The loss, I thought, was as insignificant in the whole scheme of things because it's the first game of the year. But the way the game played out, the two-hour delays, something that the NFL's never seen, something that none of these players have ever, on either side, have ever had to deal with.
Let's get right to it with Delaney Walker's injury. How significant is that for the grand scheme of the season, the offense in particular, and just how they now have to move forward without their playmaker within the passing game and the run game, and a guy that you could pretty much count on to be double-teamed at certain points throughout every ball game?
No question. So for the Titans, it's going to be a huge change. So you have your best offensive player over the last 3 years, the go-to guy for Marcus Mariota on crucial downs, third downs, red zone. Anytime he needed a reception, if he wasn't comfortable with a play, he could always go to Delaney. And Delaney was in the right spot and could make a big catch when it was needed. Delaney wasn't your down-the-field break tackles, scoring touchdowns, that. He was your move the chains, consistent playmaker, game in, game out. So for the Titans, it's going to be a huge change. For teams that are playing against the Titans, no longer do you have to worry about that tight end situation. They're going to put somebody in his spot, but they're not going to be Delaney Walker.
So they would game plan, all right, the traditional game plan thing is, all right, who do we need to double team? Who do we need to take out of this game? Delaney Walker would have been that guy. Now, are they even going to find a guy? I mean, is Deion Lewis their primary concern? Or can they play maybe as straight up as a defense could play coming into a game? That would be a huge concern, right?
You're going to see defenses play straight up, and they're going to take away the hot guy. If the hot guy is Deion Lewis, like it was for portions of the Miami game, they're going to take him away, and you're going to have to go to another option. For Delaney, you saw that early on the first drive where – it was a 3rd and 6, and Marcus looked down at Delaney. Delaney was sitting at 7 yards. He was double covered. He ended up hitting Corey Davis down the field for a first down. Wasn't a good, accurate pass, but it was a pass that ended up being a first down. Something different than Marcus has done over the last few years. He usually would force that ball to Delaney. Delaney would come up with a catch, and they would have a first down. So that's something that the defenses are not going to have to take away anymore.
Let's stick with Mariota for a minute. I felt like even before the injury, where he obviously threw two bad balls, you said they didn't really spin. Let's take the hit on that too. But he just, LaFleur said on Thursday, indecisive equals ineffective. And I thought Mariota showed us exactly how that works. I mean, even the throws he made were behind people. Stocker maybe had a touchdown if he let him sufficiently. He didn't. Davis probably had a touchdown on the fourth down play. Marcus said he wished he made the throw differently. What did you see from him? And we don't talk about quarterback conviction a lot, but it seems like he's lacking it right now.
You know, I think he was uncomfortable in a lot of areas, not only passing the ball, but you saw that they came out of 2 first-and-10s and he took a timeout. The play was out of the huddle with 17, 18 seconds. Plenty of time to go up to the line of scrimmage, audible change of play. There was something he didn't like. He made the first timeout, and then on the same drive, they had just gotten a 1st-and-10, come out of the huddle. There was something on the defense he didn't like. He called the timeout. There was not only that, lack of confidence, throwing the ball at times, but also with what they were calling or what he was seeing on the defensive side.
And how did you see it coming out of his hand after the injury?
You know, after the injury, he had no feel. He had no feel what looked like in the bottom two fingers. That's why the ball was floating. Marcus has extremely big hands. He doesn't have a large palm, but he's got his fingers are extremely long. And part of the nice ball he throws, he can really spin it. And when he brings it out of his hand, it has a nice tight spiral, and you saw it float. Both balls were high. Both ball floated out of his hand. He did not have a good aim or grip on it.
I want to go back to the loss of Delanie Walker. You're not going to replace him with anyone on the roster, but when you look at Jonnu Smith and his skill set, what can he bring to the table if it's a replace Delanie Walker's production by committee situation? If he's the next guy up for Delanie Walker, what do you think he brings to the offense?
Okay, Jonnu has the athletic traits to replace Delanie Walker. He is almost the same size, maybe a little bit bigger. He's actually faster. His hands are very similar. Not as consistent at this time of his career, just because one of the things with a hand catcher, whether it's a receiver or tight end, a lot of the drops are not bad hands. A lot of it is uncertainty in and out of their routes, being the right depth. The ball gets on them a little faster. They've got
explain what you mean by hand catcher for those listening.
So there are hand catchers and there's body catchers. A lot of guys will cradle the ball into their frame. Good hand catchers will extend their hands away from their frame and actually frame it almost like you had your hands in a diamond-shaped pattern. And really good hand catchers, players that actually trust their hands, will extend away from their frame instead of allowing the ball into their body. Jonnu is a type of athlete that can replace him from a physical standpoint. Right now, he is way behind in the blocking game. Delaney's not a knock-you-off-the-line-of-scrimmage blocker, but he's a veteran, savvy, get-in-your-way, position blocker, work hard to win. There were a number of times in the Dolphins game and really this preseason that Jonnu cannot do that on the front side of blocks. There were a number of runs early in the first half that he was blown off the ball by the defensive end or gave up pressure and ended up being a negative yard play.
I'm trying not to pretend to be a scout here, but hear me out, Blake. Whenever I saw him play at FIU, I thought he did just enough to get in the way in the blocking game. Like, it's not like he was some prolific blocker in the Conference USA.
It wasn't Craig Stevens.
Yeah, but he did just enough to be a nuisance for the defense. Is that still what he is, or has he improved in that over a year and a half or so?
No, that's still what he is. And the problem when he comes to the NFL, he was going up against Quinn, their big defensive end, a top-level athlete that weighs 280 pounds, that can move just as fast as he does, and that's a little bit more veteran and savvy. And Quinn beat him twice, one on a 5-yard run by Derrick Henry that probably could have been a 10- or 12-yard run, and then one for a negative 5-yard run by Derrick Henry that should have been a nice gained 3-, 4-, 5-yard run. So, you know, there are a lot of what you're saying, what has happened in college is still happening now. It'll happen on backside blocks, and it'll happen on frontside blocks. The one thing in the NFL, those backside ends, those backside outside linebackers that he has to cut off are not giving up like they do in college. They are still coming down the line. They are looking for the cutback run, and they're going to make that play. So if you're not cutting them off, if you're not walling them off on the backside, they're going to make the play.
So Mariota seemed like, even on the completions, was not particularly accurate. Missed Corey Davis on the fourth down play. Didn't miss him, put him in a bad spot. Didn't put Stocker in the ideal spot. You look at the best quarterbacks in the league, they're putting guys in perfect spots for yards after catch. Titans, this offense asks for yards after catch. Why was he out of rhythm, do you think, the injury?
I don't know why he was out of rhythm. A couple of those throws, I think the third down, third and six to Corey Davis in the middle of the field, there was a safety on the other side of Corey. He looked to just make the completion instead of making the big play where you stretch Corey out, let him continue to run the ball. Let's get the first down and continue to play. I have no problem with that. The fourth down play, you got to give Corey an opportunity to break that tackle. Now, Minkah Fitzpatrick did a good job of fighting through those receivers that were trying to chip him, but he made an outstanding tackle, but Corey had to slow up for the ball, turn, and never could get his momentum going. Now, the one to Stocker, I think, is a little bit different.
Which was a beautiful play design. Is that as good a LaFleur moment as you saw?
I think that's a perfect play for someone who's not going to be even a top three receiver on the field at that time. So someone that could sneak down the field, get open. The safety was completely on the other side. Actually, turned around and spun, did not even think of Stocker on that play. But Marcus actually made a good throw to Stocker on that. You cannot lead Luke Stocker too much going forward, even though he could have scored. He isn't the athlete to track the ball downfield. That's a little bit of knowing the personnel that you're throwing to. Make that completion, get on the 5-yard line, run it in. Unfortunately, they weren't able to score on that.
Did
that
the Dolphins run. Use Fitzpatrick as their chess piece defensively like you thought they would?
You know, a little bit less on Delaney. I thought they would use him a little bit more on Delaney. They really didn't. They used him more on the slot receiver at the time. He would cover Delaney at times. But he was definitely a big part of what they were doing. He's an excellent tackler. He made a couple, two really big plays, the one on the fourth down. There was another one on Corey Davis that he made another nice tackle on. He's a solid tackler. He's going to be an excellent pro for a long time. Will he be a Pro Bowler? Maybe, but, you know, he's just going to be one of those 8, 9, 10-year pros.
We were surprised that we only saw Taywan Taylor, nine snaps for the game?
And Vrabel said yesterday they've got to find more.
But you mentioned slot receiver, Blake. We saw him a lot on the outside during the preseason and during camp, during the open portions. I wonder if that's kind of his role now.
You know, I think it's making things simple for him. You know, if that's what he needed to do with Rishard Matthews not being in camp and you have to take a role, let's make him an outside receiver. Don't throw too much at him mentally. Let's let him learn that, have some success, get him on the field. I was really baffled by the 9 snaps. You know, you gave Tajay Sharp, you know, almost 50 snaps. You know, that's a lot for him for a possession-type receiver. You didn't have any stretch the field, down the field, threats on the field at any time. So, you know, that was a little bit baffling. What is going on with Taywan Taylor? Is he not picking up the system? Is he not have a rapport with the quarterback? What's going on there?
Well, one question on his near-touchdown catch. I mean, I've looked at it several times. There's pass interference. It gets not called. My understanding is earlier he was held up, too, on illegal contact, and he wouldn't have had to dive if he gets down there. So does he get scored up because he had that much to overcome when he gets down there, or when the ball hits you in the hands like that, tough catch, got to make it, not count on flags?
Two things. You got to make the catch, and if he did, it was spectacular. I mean, it's a tough catch to make, but he's got to make it. That's why you're in the league. That's why they send him on that route. Now, it looked like when he dropped it, his elbows came down on the ground, which actually made the ball bobble and drop out of his arms, but he wasn't hand catching like we talked about earlier. He was catching it more in his forearms and body.
They targeted Corey Davis quite a bit, and he only caught, 50% of the passes his way.
6 of 13, but one of them might have been a throwaway. A couple were bad throws, for sure.
But when he is catching the football, Blake, you want to see him do more after the catch, which we're not seeing yet.
He's a big physical athlete. One of the things that he's going to have to do is run after the catch. He can't catch and be stopped at that point. That's a possession guy. That's Rishard Matthews. That's your tight ends, not Corey Davis. Corey Davis is there to catch. He's there to catch a slant, catch a dig, and continue to run and run away from people. Not only run away, but he's got to break tackles. He's a big physical athlete, and he's got to break tackles. He can't stop and get brought down by a safety or a corner or even a linebacker. He's got to do more with the ball.
Do you think he did a good job of getting open? And a lot of the problems with the 13 targets and 6 catches was timing issues?
You know what? I don't know about the timing issue. Well, there could be a timing issue there, but you saw both quarterbacks struggle finding him at times. Marcus struggled finding him. He was, whether it was a wrong route or a misread on the throw, but you also saw Blaine Gabbert come in and have 2 missed throws or bad routes. You know, don't know which one it was, but something happened with both quarterbacks. You start to point a finger to one person that's having an issue when 2 quarterbacks are missing throws.
You wrote, too, that Gabbert, you thought, had a couple predetermined throws. Was going there whether the guy was the right place to go or not.
There was a play where Delaney Walker ran an in-cut, and Corey Davis was behind him. Corey Davis was wide open. There were actually 3 defenders converging on Delaney Walker on this third down, and he predetermined that throw right to Delaney. Now, Delaney made the catch, got the first down, continued the drive. But those are predetermined throws. Right off the snap, you could see he's going to Delaney, didn't trust or didn't want to make that extra read. But Davis was open right behind.
You also thought Derrick Henry looked like he was running a quicksand early to me. And when they got to Deion Lewis, they obviously got better stuff. But your thinking is offensive line was doing such a poor job that Henry actually did better than we think.
You know, what happened on a lot of those drives, he was on the first 2 possessions, and a lot of those drives there was nothing there, or there were negative yards that he ended up getting either back to the line of scrimmage or a plus one. So a lot of those hidden yardage that you see, you don't see it on the stats when he's running for 2.6 yards a carry, and that doesn't look good at the end of the day. But what you're seeing is a guy that maybe had a negative seven run. There were five defenders on that play that were unblocked, that were there, and he ended up getting back to the line of scrimmage. That could have been a second and 17 instead of a second and 10. That is huge when you're trying to make a call on that second down play. So those are the hidden yardage things I was talking about. I thought Derek did a very nice job running. He got a 6 yard gain on one that probably would have went for a lot longer, would have attacked the third level of the defense. But Jonnu missed the block on the defensive end, Robert Quinn, and he ended up getting tripped up for 6 yards. There was an outside run where Ben Jones struggled to cut off the middle linebacker. Everything was blocked up to the left on an outside run. Corey Davis had sealed his man. The middle linebacker ended up tripping up Derrick Henry.
Go back to the potential minus seven. Five guys virtually unblocked. You said, what is going on? I mean, we know that the Dolphins are not that loaded up front where five guys should be breaking free unblocked. That's a massive breakdown. Why were they having so much trouble early?
A lot of it was getting off blocks. There were two tight ends on one side that the front side tight end, Luke Stocker, missed his block. The defensive end cut in, which actually made Derek stop on the play and actually turn it back upfield. The backside guard, Josh Klein, missed his block. His defensive tackle slid off him, which actually forced Derek even further to his backside. The linebackers, the safety was in a run blitz, so the safety was there in his face, and the outside and inside linebackers were unblocked on the play.
Blake Bedingfield with us in studio in the Midday 180. Run defense was something that we thought would be a staple of this team, quite frankly. And after the start where the Titans offense controlled time of possession in the first quarter, the Dolphins were able to get going on that 98-yard touchdown drive with the run game. The rain delay, the weather delay happened, Blake, and then I felt like they did a better job after the two-hour break of stopping the run a bit. What did you notice early in the game compared to the halfway point, and what adjustments were made to help shore up the problems they were having?
So early in the game, they were spreading the team out. They were in the nickel. The Titans were in their nickel defense, which brought Jayron Brown into the inside linebacker position. They were running right at him. They weren't running to his side. They were running right at him, putting a guard, putting a center on top of his face, and he was getting covered up. Jayron is a very good linebacker that is good at on the move getting off and shedding blocks. He is not good when a guard's coming at his face. He was getting blocked. Now, on the defensive line, you had two defensive linemen and two outside linebackers. You weren't even running the 3-4 defense like they normally run. They had two defensive tackles, usually Daquan Jones and Jarrell Casey. Jarrell wasn't as effective in the first two series until they got through with that weather delay. Like you mentioned, when they got through with the weather delay, what you saw is Jarrell doing a lot more slanting and pinching, and he was shooting gaps, and he was getting in there. Now, he wasn't making the tackle or the tackle for loss, but he was forcing runs, either bouncing outside or cutting them back inside where there were defenders. That is a positive play on Jarrell Casey. It doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but he was causing a lot of havoc.
That's his value.
No question about it.
Take Jayron Brown out of those plays you're talking about. Replace him with Rashawn Evans. What do you think happens?
You know, Rashawn is a little bit more physical at the point of attack. He's going to come up and thump, and he's going to actually be able to probably dip and slip that block and make plays. He's a little bit longer, a little bit bigger. Jayron is a little bit under 6 foot. He's going to get covered up by these big guards and tackles, and that's just going to happen. Rashawn is used to playing in there in that cavity of the defense and used to being able to slip and use his long arms and length.
We didn't see Arakpo make a big impact on this game. Morgan, he played less than 20 snaps. I'm not sure the final number. It was less than 20.
Yeah.
The best run defender at outside linebacker, but still not an impact. How did Correa turn out?
You know, I thought Correa, what he is a high energy, super active outside linebacker. I don't think his skill set or skills are top notch as a pass rusher or run defender, but he's always going to be active and around the ball. Whether he makes the play or not, that's a different. But he was solid. He was getting covered up a little bit by the tackles. Again, they were playing that two defensive tackle, two outside linebacker look, so he was head up of the tackle a lot of the time. I thought Arakpo was a little bit just kind of disappeared at times during the game. They would flip them from strong to weak, which is rare. That never happened last year. And Dick LeBeau's defense. They Ragpole would just play the right side. Morgan played the left side. If they ever flopped, they were more of a pass rushing situation. This was more of a strong and weak type situation. So they were trying to free up Ragpole on that weak side.
Shane Bowen told me, the outside linebacker coach, that they're not really assigned sides going out there. And that they're left to kind of sort it out themselves. How unusual is that? And what do you make of that?
I think that's smart. Smart getting your personnel, getting your best pass rusher maybe versus the open side, which is away from a tight end, away from a back. That's just smart football. Smart football to put your personnel in or putting your best pass rusher in a situation to make plays. You don't want your secondary or third outside linebacker who just happened to be on that field and he's the open side guy. Why not flip it before the play? Give your chance to get a one-on-one block or sack.
So any sales job you're going to do on the Titans being a good offense, somewhere in there you're going to talk about their tackles with Jack Conklin and Taylor Lewan, two first-round picks. For a large chunk of that game, both of those guys were out. What did you think of Dennis Kelly and Pam Phil filling in for those guys in the game?
You know, I thought both of them came in and really did an outstanding job. The best part of Miami's defense is their defensive ends. They have Charles Harris and Cameron Wake and Robert Quinn. And that's their best three playmakers on the defense. And they pretty much neutralized them in the passing game. Now, they made more plays in the run game than you want, but it really
Vrabel said neutralizing the ends was number one on their list of things to do.
And they did a good job with that in the passing game. The really, it wasn't Kelly or Pam Phil that gave up a lot of the run plays, it was more of the tight ends. So, you know, I thought from especially Pam Phil having to come in for Quentin Spain on that one play, then having to pop out at left tackle, I thought he did a nice job. But really, Kelly did not have a lot of help in the passing game and did a lot of his stuff one-on-one, which is what you want to see from a tackle, especially a backup tackle, and he held his own.
Like on the two kickoff returns that we saw in this game, how much do you chalk that up to, and maybe you don't, the delays, guys just kind of going through the motions after 2 hour sitting around type things? Is there any of that to what happened, or is it more complete breakdown?
I think a little bit of both. Those guys have to be tired. I mean, you're sitting on the floor in the locker room. There's not a lot of place to stretch out.
Yeah.
There's just so much time that was wasted during those rain delays. But, you know, you also have Jakeem Grant has the ability to take it deep. Darius Jennings, that's something we didn't see before, and he showed in that game he did. But you saw big holes, big gaps. I think some of the rule changes have also brought into that because the defense not being, or the kickoff team not being able to get a running start, they're not getting past that first level of blockers as quick. So people are getting held up and blocked up a little bit better. So, you know, there are some things like that that you're going to see more of. You saw it in the Kansas City game as well with Tyreek Hill.
Titans and Texans this week. What comes to mind against the Texans and how they've built their roster around their new quarterback?
You know, I think from a quarterback standpoint, DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, that's going to be paramount. Who's going to stop him? I thought Malcolm Butler had a really good game. I know he gave up the one touchdown pass, but he was in perfect position for that. Kenny Stills just made a nice catch and was able to fight through, which is not a trademark of Kenny Stills, being able to fight through the hands and the grabbing. He's usually a little bit softer and a little bit weaker when he's coming to catching that kind of ball. So I thought Malcolm did a really nice job. I thought Odori did a fine job. So, you know, and even Logan Ryan against a quicker Danny Amendola really did a good job. Danny had a few catches, but he was able to stop him. But DeAndre Hopkins, that's going to be number one. That's going to be paramount. Can they stop him first? You know, Will Fuller was out last week, which he'll probably be out again this week. That takes away your deep threat. So outside of that, the running game is just average at best with the Texans, and the offensive line is below average.
Defensively for Houston, I realize this is tough to come up with a framework of what works and what doesn't with J.J. Watt. Is there a specific type of offensive lineman that generally has more success against a rusher like that?
No, not really. I mean, it's usually when he's out and injured. That's
the only reason.
You know, I saw some really good offensive tackles go up against JJ, and it's when he's hitting on all cylinders, when he's coming off the ball at full tilt with his size and strength and arm length, he's a hard one-on-one matchup. You're not going to be able to leave him one-on-one. Now, he's had a lot of injuries that have slowed him down a little bit. The back, the knee, there's a number of things there that have slowed him down. But he's got Whitney Merciless. He has Jadeveon Clowney. He has people to take the pressure off of him. And you saw Reeder this past week have two sacks on the inside. Those are people that are going to get a lot of one-on-one blocks because J.J.'s going to take up too. So, you know, I think for this week, you're going to see those tackles again. Dennis Kelly, hopefully Taylor Lewan will be back. And they're going to have another big matchup this week with a different group.
Two quarterbacks I want to ask you about in college football, guys that should be high draft picks when they have come out. Will Greer, Tua Tagovailoa at Alabama. I want to start with Will Greer. Is there a comp that you look at in the league right now for him, and what do you think of his skill set?
You know, Will is a high percentage passer, but not just a short passing game passer. He's a over 10-yard completion percentage type thrower. He's got an easy motion. He's got very good feet in the pocket. He's got a natural feel for where he feels in that pocket. He's always out of the shotgun, so he's got a clean look at the defense initially. But he's got a very nice, easy throw motion, whether it's deep, short, intermediate. That doesn't make him a top-level prospect, even though he has that. That offense is kind of generated to get the ball out of his hands quick and get it into receivers' hands and make plays after the catch. But I do like Will. I think his comp would be Andy Dalton. He has a throwing motion like A.J. McCarron had, a little bit more over the top. Very good touch on the ball. Both of them have that. Andy Dalton probably is not the foot athlete that Will Greer is. Not that Greer is going to go out and run a great 40, but he probably A.J. McCarron to an Andy Dalton is what my comp would be for Will Greer.
Tua Tagovailoa seems pretty unique when you're trying to look for comps, just with all the things that he can do. And he will take chances at times during the game. What do you think of him in terms of fitting that Alabama offense and what Nick Saban wants? But I guess beyond that, what he could bring to an NFL team.
You know, what I like when I watch Tua is his patience in the pocket. He will not look to run first. He will look for that first or secondary, even to the third read on a offensive play. So he's very patient in the pocket. He has a great confidence of knowing that he's strong in his lower body. He's not going to be brought down by just an arm tackle. You're going to have to really bring it to bring him down. Now he's a 5'11", maybe 6 foot on his best day, height wise. But he's got great lower body strength. He's got a good arm. It's not a flashy arm. It's not a bullet arm. But he's got excellent touch on the ball. He's a guy that can move right or left. Being a left-handed quarterback, he can actually move right in the pocket and throw with accuracy to the right side. He's got that natural feel and instinct that you want to see in a passer. But I think his best trait is his vision. And what I mean is his vision down the field, not only reading defenses, but he will have the vision to come off that first receiver, see the second receiver, whether his feet and body position is in play in the right play, but he will actually make and deliver that ball with accuracy.
You were with the team when Jared Cook came in, never turned into the player envisioned here, has gone on to a pretty long and sometimes at least effective career. Big catch for Aaron Rodgers last night, a big game for Oakland. What did you guys envision for him when he was coming in, and is last night that what you were hoping for here? Obviously,
you know, when Jared was with the Titans, you saw flashes of it. Excellent size and length and speed and great athlete. Hands were solid but not special. He could go up and make the 50-50 catch at times, and then at others he would float off the ball like he did last night on that fade route. Instead of him going up and over the defensive back, he floated on the route and allowed the defensive back to pick it off. So those are little things that he's never figured out, but he does have the great athleticism. And what they did is they always had him on the move. He was a crossing route across the middle or a deep, maybe a little skinny post or a deep post. You know, those are things you want him on the run because he's such a long gait to his running style. He's a 200-meter runner instead of a 100-meter runner. And when he gets going, he's tough to tackle. So he showed a little bit of toughness last night, which I like to see out of Jared. But he was starting to feel it. You saw the confidence grow as the game went along, and they were going to feed him the ball.
They've got to make Amari Cooper more than a decoy for that offense. I don't know what they were thinking last night, but they didn't go to him enough.
No, and what Jared did in this game going into week two, they should be able to play off of what Jared did and
get him the ball.
Get Amari Cooper the ball more.
Anything else stand out to you across the league? We saw the tie in Cleveland between the Steelers and the Browns. The Ravens just had their way with Buffalo. Any
the
other
Bucks,
big
the Bucks?
Yeah, maybe the team to talk about this week is Tampa Bay.
you know, you saw in Tampa game, for example, you saw the good fits. You saw the good Fitzpatrick and no interceptions, high completion percentage, a lot of touchdowns, a lot of yards. You know, what will you see this week? We've seen here in Nashville, we've seen the good fits and the bad fits, and he may be the one quarterback that you want to see that on a consistent basis, but in his career, he just hasn't been that consistent. But he used his playmakers. He used DeSean Jackson. He used Mike Evans, a little bit of the running game, but he used the two big playmakers he has, which is smart.
What would you lean on in the matchup for the Titans and the Texans if you were Tennessee? What's something you can hang your hat on against the Houston Texans?
You've got to get the run game going. You've got to get Deion Lewis out of the backfield on McKinney. You know, Zach Cunningham is a nice linebacker to be able to cover running backs, but you've got to be able to get him on the edge, whether it's in the screen game, take away that pass rush, slow it down at least a little bit with some of the screens and that type of thing to Deion. But, you know, you've got Corey Davis has to step up and play. He's got to be a playmaker this week. There's no doubt about it. Hopefully Rishard Matthews is a little bit more healthy or he can be effective in that possession type game.
You want insider stuff and detail on technique? This is your man, Blake Bettingfield, writing for me at paulkarski.com, going to be with us here in this time slot weekly. Some more appointment listening for you. Enjoyed it. Goes by fast, which is always a good sign. And we look forward to talking to you weekly. We will now begin to give you homework assignments on random things or people that strike our fancy. So bring in anything you want, and we'll take some suggestions, too, from people on Twitter who say, hey, can you keep an eye on so-and-so this weekend? And we look forward to it. It'll be great.
Blake, thank you.
Thanks for having me.